Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. We will be beginning our fourth message in this book. And as you're turning there, I'll review a little bit again. In chapter 1, we looked at how that John, in the first three verses of chapter 1, wanted to introduce the gospel. The gospel that he had seen with an eyewitness, that the false teachers he was confronting in this book could not explain. They could not see Jesus. They didn't see his miracles. And John and the other apostles could declare the message from God. Then we find in verse 4 the result. It says here, and these things write unto you that your joy may be full. And so John, in writing this book, wanted all believers their joy they found in learning about the gospel, how they could have eternal life, would be full. Because these false teachers had come in, and they were bringing a contrary, an opposite gospel than the gospel they had heard from the beginning. And John wanted them to turn back to the original gospel and understand that all they need to do is recognize their sin, confess their sins, receive Jesus' forgiveness, and receive Jesus Christ's righteousness, and that's all they need for eternal life. And we find in verses 5 that God is holy, and then the rest of the chapter we see how that we need to recognize that we are not. And on a daily basis, even after Christ, we need to continue to confess and cleanse ourselves from unrighteousness. Then in chapter 2, the second test we find here is, are you a true believer? So in chapter 1 is, do you know the gospel? In chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, it says here, I write unto you that you may not sin. True believers, in verse 3, they obey. In verse 5, true believers, they love. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. And the key, remember we looked on this passage, the key in John's gospel, as well as in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, is the love of God. The love of God for us, which then results in our love for God. So we can obey as true believers, we can love, and then verse 6, walk. Hopefully all true believers want to walk in newness of life. On a daily, our conduct is we walk just as Jesus walked. We abide in his word. We allow the Holy Spirit to bring to mind the word of God when we're tempted. We have a choice either to give in to the sin or to resist and to obey him. And then we looked at last week in verses 12 through 17, this short little passage here. We looked at how that you are a part of God's family, and how that those who profess Christ but never receive him are not part of God's family. They have not received the Holy Spirit. And true believers love God by reading and obeying God's word in verse 13. And how then verse 14, God has given us the victory. The victory over this world, over Satan, and over sin. And then towards the end of this passage, love not the world. Since we are part of God's family, he wants us to love him more than we love the world or the things in the world. And how that the world has set itself up in verse 16 as opposing God. And then verse 17, the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does or doeth the will of God remains forever. So the world is heading to destruction. But we as believers, we have in verse 18, little children, it is the last hour or time. And ye, as ye have heard, that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last hour. refer to the last hour as that time when, right before the second coming of Jesus, when God will pour out his judgment on mankind, the book of Revelation. And that's that last time or that last hour that John's referring to. And John thought it was happening in his time period, and when he was still alive. But yet the Lord has tarried for these many years. But yet down through these years, Satan does not know when Christ is coming. He does not know when Jesus is going to come and take his church up to heaven in the rapture. He doesn't know when Revelation will take place. So down through the ages, he has always had Antichrist set up who will rule the world and who will oppose God. Even during John's time period, he says there has been many Antichrists. And tonight, as we look at our message, verses 18 through 29, we're going to find who is an Antichrist and who is a true believer. And so tonight, verses 18 of chapter 2 through 29, we're going to find that John challenges, again, a test of the faith. Are you the Antichrist or are you a true believer? Let's open a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for enabling John to be able to write this book so many years ago to challenge us to look at our life and to test our faith. Are we a believer who loves, obeys, and follows and serves you? Are we only professing, deceiving ourselves, and living lives that are contrary to the Word of God? Help us to examine our lives and then to be able to change, to become more like your Son, Jesus. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 18, it says here, little children, it is the last hour or time. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And so verses 18 through 23 is going to focus on who is the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? If we were to look out, we wouldn't think of people, regular people, as being the Antichrist. But yet, as John is going to reveal here, the Antichrist could be anyone who opposes God, anyone who rejects Jesus and denies that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the Savior. And that's who the Antichrist is. It's one that ultimately Satan will one day raise up and oppose God. He says here in verse 18, again, speaking to God's family, all believers, little children, it is the last hour, the end of all things. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. And so during John's time period, back before 100 BC, there were many Antichrists living. These coming final world leaders, whereby we know that it is the last hour. And so John believed that Jesus would return during his life, same as Paul. But yet the Lord has waited for his time. And the Antichrist is one who opposes Christ. And he says, we know that it's the last. How did John know that it was the last hour? He could look out and see many people, just like these false teachers he was confronting in this letter. Those who had heard the gospel and rejected it. Those who had heard the gospel and began to change the gospel and make it something else. They opposed God and they opposed Christ. And he says, these people are why we know the end time is coming. We see how wicked and deceitful humankind has become. And back in 1 Timothy, it mentions how that the world will get worse and worse before the final second coming. It also says here, even now are there many antichrists. Not just one, but many during John's time period. All those who opposed God and opposed Christ. I think about last week I mentioned how you think of Hitler and Stalin and Mao Zedong, these very wicked people. And you look at their belief system, how they opposed God. And they set themselves up as opposite of God. There are many people who reject Christ, many people who oppose God and say offensive things. They as well could be the Antichrist. It says in verse 19, and they went out from us, but they were not of us. So speaking of these Antichrists in verse 18 and 17, it says they went out from us. I think that's significant because if they went out, they already had to be in. They had come in to the church. They had heard the message. But they never received the gospel message as their own. They never received the Holy Spirit. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, believe the gospel, you are sealed to the day of redemption, Ephesians says. You are given the Holy Spirit. They were just maybe professing Christ or just coming in to deceive with no intention of believing. They came in to this church that John is writing to, or churches. They tried to associate with themselves with this church. But they did not remain. They did not abide. They did not continue. But they were not of us. John confronted these people who were possibly hearing this letter written by John, hearing it spoken in their churches. They were not of us. They were not true believers, and they left. For if they had been of us, if they had belonged to the family of God, they would no doubt have continued or remained or stayed with us. Kind of like growing up, I remember of several individuals who professed Christ. But then, sadly, for whatever reason, they stopped coming. I think of one individual. His name was Roger Sandlin. When I was a senior in high school, he professed Christ. And he came to church, and he seemed to have a love for the Lord. But then sadly, because of his love for the world and the things in the world, he stopped going to church. Later on, after I was in college, I went back, and I went to his apartment, and I talked to him. And he was not a true believer. He had rejected Christ and had wanted no part with the family of God. He did not remain or stay or continue. And it says here, but they went out that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. And so they left and they deserted to reveal, to show everyone, to make or made manifest to everyone, a true believer will remain and continue until the end because they have the Holy Spirit within them, and the Holy Spirit will continue to make them feel miserable. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to lead you into truth and to convict you of sin. And if you're a true believer who is living in sin, you're going to be miserable. God will not allow a true believer to continue in sin. and enjoy it and have the joy in this life. He will make you miserable. And so it says here, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. We are in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, and it says, but they went out. Those who were just professing Christ and never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they might be made manifest to everyone that they were not all of us. And so true believers will remain in the faith. So we learn in verse 18 that there is many antichrist even now. In verse 19, we learn that true believers will remain in the faith. And then verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You think about this word unction. A better way of saying this is in verse 27. It says anointing. So you look at verse 27. It's the same word here in verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our vessel, our bodies, at the point of salvation, and we are sealed to the day of redemption. And it comes from the Holy One. Remember Jesus prayed? He says he prayed for us that he would send us a helper. That helper is the Holy Spirit. And you know all things. We know all things because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And the Holy Spirit is not someone separate from God the Father and Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit is God. And God himself lives in us. And so God is all truth. And so as you think about it, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And he leads us into all truth. And so it says here, but you have an anointing from Christ, the Holy One, and you know all things. We don't need someone to teach us the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We can open the Word of God, and God wants us to understand His message. God wants us to show us how to live our lives. This is our instruction manual, and He gave us the Word of God to show us how to live. And he gave us his Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. It says here, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And verse 21, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. And so what are these all things in verse 20? It is the truth. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. It's ultimately no lies or deception is found in the Word of God. But yet these false teachers who are coming into the church, changing the gospel, deceiving many, denying Christ, they are full of lies. And so John is saying here, the reason why I am writing you is because you know the truth. If you are a true believer today, you know the gospel. You have the Holy Spirit within you. And the Holy Spirit's purpose is to convict you of sin and lead you into His Word. You know the truth. And then verse 22, who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? And so John is confronting these false teachers. He says here, who is a liar? And then this phrase here, he that denies. He's going to say this over and over, either denier or he that denies. In these next few verses, he's going to start to begin explaining who are these antichrists. And how are they described? An antichrist leaves. We learn that in verse 18. He leaves the family. He does not continue. He does not have the Holy Spirit in verse 20. In verse 21, this Antichrist is full of lies. And in verse 22, this Antichrist is a denier that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. That Jesus is the Savior. And so ultimately, if you're asking who are the Antichrist, they have left the true gospel message, and they have left the church. They do not have the Holy Spirit. They are full of lies, and they are characterized by denying Jesus Christ. It says here, he is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And so these false teachers were saying, we deny that Jesus is the Christ, but we are part of God's family. We accept the Father, but we don't accept the Son. And sadly, John's going to emphasize you can't have one without the other. You can't have Jesus. You can't have God the Father without Jesus Christ. And so these antichrists deny that Jesus is the Christ, and they denieth both the Father and the Son. So that's the fifth characteristic of the Antichrist. And then verse 23, whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. And so again, these false teachers were saying, we have God the Father, but we have our own means of getting to the Father. They deny that Jesus is the Christ. And he that acknowledgeth the Son has, present tense, the Father also. And so today, if we've received Jesus Christ as our Savior, received the gospel, received eternal life, received God's forgiveness, not only have we received Jesus, we are part of God's family. And so that's the opposite of those who deny. Here is he that acknowledges. That's a true believer. He that acknowledges, he who receives Jesus, he has also received the Father. And then verse 24, let that therefore abide in you. The word abide here is command. John is saying, commanding true believers to remain. Let that therefore remain in you, which you have heard from the beginning. Remember that gospel message that Jesus came and lived a perfect life, and then he died on a cross, was buried, and rose again to pay the penalty for your sins and to give you his righteousness. That's that message you've heard from the beginning. He says here, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. The true gospel message does not change. And these false teachers were coming in and saying that the gospel message had changed. And John confronts them and says, it is the same from the very beginning. It does not change. You don't have to believe the lies of these false teachers and these antichrists. Let therefore remain in you which you have heard from the beginning, in which you have heard from the beginning, and shall remain. You will remain, says here, in you also shall continue in the future with the Son and the Father. So he's saying here, if you remain, you will be to partake with God the Father and Jesus Christ in the future. Then verse 25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. So true believers understand the gospel message has not changed in verse 24. Also, true believers have eternal life today. And this is the promise. The promise from who? From Jesus walking on the earth, revealed to us in the Word of God, and also from the Father, that he has promised us even eternal life. So we should live forever with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, because he made the promise, and he will fulfill that promise to us. And then verse 26, These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. And so the desire of the Antichrist is to lead you away from the gospel, to lead you away from Jesus Christ, and lead you away from the verse before, eternal life. They want to deceive you. And so John writes this book, he says here, these things I have written unto you, believers, concerning them that want to seduce you or lead you away. They want to destroy your faith in Jesus. And so John's writing this letter saying, beware, are you of the faith? Do you know the gospel? Do you have this eternal life? And then he says in verse 27, but the anointing, remember back in verse 20, not the unction, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And in you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things and is truth. So ultimately, when I was a new believer in high school, trying to understand the Bible was difficult for me. And I like to read other books about the Bible and try and learn more. But ultimately, we don't need some other human books or someone human teacher to understand the Word of God. Amen. All we have to do is simply read it on a daily basis, believe it, and then things that are difficult, pray and ask the Lord to reveal them to you, to give you understanding. Yes, we can still use other human means to understand the Bible, and they can help us understand. I went through 8 years of a 4-year Bible college degree. I learned a lot by other people's teachings, but ultimately we can look at God's Word and read it and understand it. And things that are difficult, we can pray and ask, and that Holy Spirit living within us can lead us into truth. But the anointing which you have received of him, remember that anointing, that seal to the day of redemption, the Holy Spirit living within us, you have received of him, abideth or remain in you. It will never leave. The Holy Spirit, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit will always remain in us. He will never leave. And it says here, and you need not that any man teach you, no human means of teaching you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things. And so the purpose of the anointing, the giving of the Holy Spirit who lives within every believer, is to teach you all things and is the truth. We also know that the Holy Spirit teaches you these things. It's not a lie. It's not fake. We can trust it. Because ultimately, we can read books and be deceived. No human is without error. But ultimately, as we read God's Word and ask him to give us understanding, he will lead us into truth. And it says here, and is truth and is no lie. And even it has taught you, you should, in the future, remain in him. So ultimately, as we desire to read God's Word, understand it, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us these things, then you shall abide in him. He will give us that joy. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 4, that joy that surpasses all understanding. That's what John wants to give true believers. Don't get so distracted by the lies of the world and the lies of these antichrists, these deniers, but find your joy in reading and understanding God's Word to you. And then verse 28, and now, little children, we find here the second command, abide in him, continue, remain, or stay, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And so John says, here, you family of God, you little children, remain in him. Remain in the family. Remain in the Word of God. Surrender that Holy Spirit to teach you, that when he shall appear, when Jesus shall appear, one future day, Jesus will return in the rapture. We have confidence. And so number one, if we remain in God's word and understand the truth, it says here, we will have joy. Remember back chapter 1, verse 4, we will have joy, have confidence when Jesus returns in the rapture, and not be ashamed. So I don't believe that idea that some people, if they don't remain, they'll be left behind. There's the other views of Revelation. But ultimately, if you're a true believer and you have the Holy Spirit within you, when Jesus returns, he'll take his church, his indwelt believers, all to heaven, no matter how they live. But it says here, there's two conditions. If you're living worldly, loving the world, you won't have confidence, and you'll be ashamed at his appearing. And so he says here to abide or remain in God's word. Allow the word of God to change who you are and make you more and more like his son. And that when he shall appear, when Jesus returns one day for the church in the rapture, we may have confidence. It's conditional. We would have confidence, and also it's conditional in that we would not be ashamed. Imagine if you're living and loving the world more than you love Christ, and Jesus returns in the rapture. How ashamed we'll be because of our lives. And then in verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And so what is the characteristic of a true believer? You know that God is righteous, that Jesus is righteous. And it says here that you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. And so true believers does what is right. And that's where John closes this chapter. And so we have here true believers as opposed to the characteristics of false teachers. What do false teachers or the Antichrist do? Verse 18, they oppose Jesus Christ. The Antichrist also, in verse 19, they don't remain. They oppose Christ. Verse 19, these Antichrists, they don't remain. And verse 20, these Antichrists, they don't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In verse 21, they are full of lies and deception. And verse 22, they are deniers that Jesus is the Christ. And also in verse 26, these things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Not only do they want to leave the faith, oppose Christ, they're lacking the Holy Spirit, they're full of lies and they're deniers, but also they want to destroy your faith. That's characteristics. Verses 18 through 22, and also verse 26, that's characteristics of the Antichrist. They want to destroy your faith. But ultimately, true believers, in verse 24, they understand the gospel. They have the promise of verse 25. They have eternal life. And then verse 27, they have no need of a human teacher, because they have the Holy Spirit to lead them into truth and convict them of sin. Another characteristic of a true believer is in verse 28, they have joy. They have confidence when Jesus returns. They're not ashamed. And lastly, in verse 29, a true believer does what is right. They don't continue to live in sin, but because they're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, even if they do sin, the Holy Spirit convicts them. They confess their sin and then desire to repent and change and live a life that honors the Lord Jesus. They do what is right. And so we have here in chapter 2, verses 18 through 29, is John describes the characteristics of the Antichrist, and he describes the characteristics of a true believer. As we've gone through the book of 1 John, we find many tests. Are you of the faith? And tonight we've learned that a true believer has eternal life. He is not a denier. He has the Holy Spirit living within him. He is not ashamed at the return of Christ, and he always does what is right. Have you passed the test? Are you a true believer? And then are you reading God's word? Hope that's my challenge to each of you today, is that you love reading the word of God. And the Holy Spirit is able to take the word of God and change who you are. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for John writing this book to encourage and challenge believers to see, are they of the faith? Are they part of God's family? Or are they deceiving themselves? Thank you for your word. Help us to continue to love, obey, and serve you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.